here again to share from the things you have in mind for us. Speak to us in Jesus' name. And help us to be doers of the word. In Jesus' name we pray. I will quickly read. I just have about 40 minutes, and give me all the time because I have a few things I want to say. I want to talk about common warning signs of a troubled marriage. Okay? Common warning signs of a troubled marriage. You know, I wrote a book. One of my books there is called Defeating the Mother Frog Syndrome. And that's, you know, we manifest this same syndrome, not only in the church, but in our marriages. The mother frog is one of the, you know, whether you talk about mammals or reptiles or whatever, is been the only creature that has been known and identified to stay in an environment until it's hot before it responds. And they did the experiment. You catch the mother frog, you put her in a bowl of water. It's going to sit still so long as it's inside water. Then you put the frog in the pot, you put it on the stove, and it's going to stay there. You light the stove, it's still tolerable. So as you put it on and the water is heating, it changes its body temperature to match up with what was coming on. The first time it reacts or she reacts violently is when the water becomes too hot. And that's the problem most of us, you know, I wrote that from the point of discipleship, that we wait in church until our members are, you know, backsliding or, thank you. Until our members are, do you like me at all? Okay, thank you. So we wait until our members are backsliding, until your converts, you don't make them disciples. They remain converts until they're marrying unbelievers or marry Muslims. Then you just wake up and say, what are we doing? And that's what we do even in our marriages. Sometimes there are warning signs written all over. We pretend they don't exist. We look away from them. No marriage ever breaks down suddenly. It's a long time. It takes a long while. And usually, the red flags are all over the place. The warning signs are all over the place. But we are, you know, we have, like the mother frog, we tend to adapt to the environment we are until it's too hot to endure. Then suddenly say, God forbid, I would never marry her. But find out, this thing has started for 5 years. Ask him when he started noticing these things. It's been many years, and we don't address it. Psalm 11, verse 3. Psalm 11, verse 3. When the foundations are destroyed or being destroyed, what can the righteous do? These are the intriguing passage of the scriptures that you know, God doesn't ask questions without giving answers. In this one, the Holy Spirit didn't give the answer. If the foundations have been destroyed, what will the righteous do? So he's leaving the righteous the option of what he wants to do to the foundations. He should solve the problem. He should answer the question. You know, the foundation, the righteous can do a couple of things. The righteous can say, the foundations are destroyed. There's nothing I can do about it. Let's continue to build on it. And you know that once you are building on a faulty foundation, at the end of the day, it's going to collapse. So the foundation, the righteous can continue to build on a faulty foundation. There's also something else the righteous can do. The righteous can say, well, there's nothing I can do about this foundation. It's over. I'm not trying anymore. And he walks away. The righteous can also do another thing, which is the third option. He can destroy the entire structure, go back to the foundation and lay a proper foundation. Or the foundation, the righteous can leave this and go elsewhere to start a new foundation. But the answer to what you do in response to a faulty foundation is in your hands. We see people with bad marriages. There's a particular case, you know, that I'm thinking of now. Somebody was hired for me to work for me in the U.S. And because these messages go far, so I'm being careful. But when we wanted to, the first, second contact, I picked a signal. And I told the person's hiring, and I said, I picked a signal about this lady. And I want to be careful. And immediately I said, well, this is the turbulence they have gone through. He's gone through, the marriage has gone through hell. I'm back. The man took his pistol, sometimes felt like shooting, punches the wall, does some things, and he had a grace to get over all the infidelity and all that. Accepted the wife. In the next week or so, or two, they will be rededicating that marriage. They go back to the altar, rededicating and all that. It was so bad. It looks as though the world will come to an end. But if you see both of them, you will never believe that was part of their history. Because the righteous decided, I'm not going to lose my years of investment here. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's pick another verse in Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Songs of Solomon 2:15. Catch us, the little foxes. I'm reading from NIV. Catch us, the little foxes. The little foxes that ruin the vines, our vines that are in blossom or that are tender. Now, this is another thing you need to understand, that things don't just happen. Our vines have tender grapes. Things don't just happen. You need to understand the tenderness of your relationship. It doesn't take time to mess up the relationship you have built for years. It doesn't take time. You just need to know, identify when the foxes are coming in. When the foxes are coming in. And then quickly catch them as they're coming. Quickly catch them. And I wish I can stand here and tell you that foxes won't come close to your home. They will come. They're going to come. They're going to come in form of friends. They're going to come in form of weariness. That's what we said yesterday, the first day on Thursday. You know, marriages are not just, it's both, you need to endure as well as to enjoy. God's ultimate goal is for you to enjoy. But the process of adjustment requires endurance. It requires endurance. For instance, if you are the kind that is very organized, you know, so organized that you carry your briefcase and it suddenly falls to the ground and opens accidentally, and all the files and the books there will fall out in an organized manner. In an organized manner. You know, there are people that are that organized. And you are married to a spouse who is directly opposite. That's the only way I can describe. I mean, you find this here, we find this here. You find the toothpaste in the kitchen. Then you find one of the sticks for turning something in your bedroom. And it's just all over the place. You know, that was a big problem to me when I newly got married. You know, because everything has to just remain where they are. Just don't move. The shoes are here. That's it. And this and that. And I'm very particular about the way I make my bed. I usually make my bed once a week as a bachelor. Once I make it, it doesn't unfold until after 1 week. And there must not be any crisps. You know the way they do it in the hotel. No crisps. No folding. Just. And I got married. I woke up, the bed is like, how did this happen? Please pray that it won't happen. It's not prayer. Shut up. And I will come in. You know, I've been laboring. And instead of coming just to sleep, then I said, did you take your bath? The woman is already sleeping. You wake her. Did you take your bath before you come to bed? Oh, your feet are not clean. Okay, go and clean your feet. And then I'm cleaning. I'm arranging. I'm putting something, another towel or something to clean. See, the world is not coming to an end. Take it easy, bro. Take it easy. So I kept doing that. And I saw her sleeping and I wanted to wake up. And I think God just decided to come to her aid and my aid. And as I was looking and I wanted to wake, I said, why is it the child of God can't even organize small bed? And I'm there. God said, are you not wicked? Wicked of somebody who is asleep. You know, she is an early bed, you know, I mean, an early sleeper. Why are you going to wake up? Just arrange your side, clean up the thing, and go to bed. Leave this woman alone. Then I got born again. I repented for that activity. Now don't look at me with bad eyes. I've repented a long time ago. But I changed that attitude. I decided, okay, it's okay. If I know she is not at home and I can be available, then I make the bed the way I want it. And can I tell you something? Up to today, I still make our bed. Up to today. And so when she's around, I say, hold it the other side. And the moment I say, hold the other side, and I said, then she just put the thing. I said, no, just wait. Just hold it for me. Wait there, I'm coming. Because for her, if you push it there, it's all done. For me, no, the clothes has to go under the bed, you know, the folding. And so I just say, hold it, just hold it. Then I move to the other side and I make it. I say, okay, you can lie down now. Then I discovered that I enjoy my life more by doing what I'm gifted to do. You are an arranger. You are an organizer. She's also the other one. No, I didn't say that. She says, maybe she's scattered. No, I didn't say that. But if you are an organizer, you need something to organize. And God gave you a woman that will give you something to organize. So, you need to understand some basics. That when little foxes are coming up, for instance, that would have wrecked my marriage. You know, this whole perfectionist thing. And everything, and you know, it still affects me to my oral dentition. You have to brush for 5 minutes. Why do you brush 5 minutes? The dentist will tell you, and the research have shown that for the fluoride to keep your mouth fresh, to keep your breath fresh, it takes 3 minutes to start working. So when you are able to keep the fluoride in your mouth for 5 minutes, then your breath is fresh for 12 hours. You better believe that I'm enforcing the children. I say, madam, how many minutes? I say, please, stay longer. And if you do that anyway, you are not going to need chewing gum. You don't need mint or anything. Your breath will be fresh for 12 hours. And I'm just on everything. Bro, take it easy now. Take it easy. Just let her be. And she can, you know, learn some things along the way. So after I got born again, I had to calm down. I began to discover that if I'm too particular about what I think I want and I don't consider the feelings of the other person, I'm going to wreck the marriage. So number one trouble sign you need to be looking out is if two of you find yourself bickering and arguing a great deal, always arguing, always bickering on each other, and you're always arguing about every little thing, it's a sign that something, this marriage is not as healthy as it's supposed to be. You know, the art of communication, we didn't get there. If you buy the book on marriage, you're going to see some things. This one I'm teaching is not necessarily there, because I just do it from experience. But you're going to see some things about this issue, especially communication in marriage. There's a whole chapter on it, communication in marriage. You see, as a communicator, you need to choose your words carefully, because meanings are not transferable. Okay? I can say, drop this on the table for me. I said, can you put this on the table for me? Now, they sound alike, but they are not the same. The difference between whether this phone will survive or whatever is the way I present it. If you drop it here and it breaks his business, you just destroy my phone. You say, you asked me to drop it on the phone, and I dropped it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, as a communicator, as you know, you want to say something to your wife or to your husband, you need to say it in a way that you need to be sure they're listening. And women are always, you know, I told you in the morning, men are always focused on whatever they're doing. So they don't, some things you say you told them, the man will say you didn't. It's not lying, neither are you lying. It's just that you didn't get his attention. And you must demand that he responds to what you have said. That's the only way you know the man heard you, the man heard you. Okay? So you have to say what you want to say. Be sure he or she has heard you well, and then she responds. Not just responding, but giving you the sort of response you want. If you're telling me something and you are crying and I'm laughing, the message didn't get across. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you need to understand so that you avoid argument. And one way to avoid argument is let the other finish what he says. Don't talk over him or don't talk over her. That's what I'm saying. If he's talking, it is rude for you to cut that conversation. Allow him to finish. Yeah, it may take a minute, it may take two, it may take five. And that's the way she knows to present it. Be patient, let her come around, then you raise yours. And if he begins to talk, you say, no, when you were talking, I was quiet. Just be quiet, let me finish. And then as soon as you finish, then give her a chance to respond. Then you talk. That's the way to really, debate an issue and make it healthy. But if you begin to back and then throw things at each other, it's already a major crack. And if you don't address it, it will go a little further. Number two, when you find yourself withdrawing from one another, or you just roll your eyes a lot, and he's talking, he says, there we go again. It's already a wrong sign. If you find yourself withdrawing from her or from him, you withdraw from your spouse, you don't want to be around, you just withdraw. You say, what is going on? You say, I'm good. I just have this show, this television show I used to watch. I like this. And you just find yourself, you feel like staying longer at work, and you find yourself withdrawing. It's a warning sign that something might be going wrong. Number three, if you find yourself you don't fight fear. That is, you fight, your fights are messy. Your fights escalate out of control and degenerate into screaming matches. You just keep shouting at each other, shout, and you don't fight fear. And one of the things that destroys marriage fastest is when you use the secret that was delivered to you in time of peace to fight in time of war. It can wreck your marriage. I know somebody, a very top general in the Nigerian army, whose wife passed away, and he married another lady, a younger lady. But to be clean, to come clean to her, he told her, he said, I have had an experience. In case you hear the story, I don't want you to hear it from anywhere. Something like this happened with a friend, was married to a wife. Now, that was before he got born again. He later got born again. Married, and this happened, and the man came to me, to father children with a wife, just whatever, and this is top secret, nobody knows. But I'm delivering it to you as a wife, because I don't think it's a level of secret I should hide from you. And something happened, and the woman went into the archive and threw that thing on the man's face. And the man said, today is your last day in this house. I am not marrying you anymore. You didn't know about it. You didn't hear about it. I willingly walked up to you and I told you, I have a secret like this. I don't want it. I don't want you to hear from her. And I deliver it to your heart. That is my life I gave you. This is the way you use the information. Marriage over. You took anointed men from various regions that the man respected a lot to be able to restore the woman back to that home. One of the ways, I told you in the morning, if a man says, I don't trust my wife, it's always about information management. If the woman says, I don't trust my husband, it's infidelity. But if the man says, I don't trust my wife, he's not sure what he will do with the information he's giving you. So you need to be careful. When you find yourself throwing these things at each other, it's a bad sign for any marriage. Number four, when there seems to be a feeling of indifference between both of you, when one or both of you have started to detach emotionally, you are no longer interested. And you're going to see this when there's emotional detachment, no longer, the other party is no longer saying, how are you feeling today? Are you alright? Are you okay? The woman could wake up and said, I'm feeling this, and he said, oh, sorry. And it's gone. And then he comes back, he's not going to remember to say, is it true? I mean, how about the feeling you told me you were having? You told me you were not feeling, or are you okay now? How do you feel today? He's not gonna, he doesn't care anymore. The man doesn't care, the woman doesn't care. And then the man comes, he doesn't ask for food. And all that, whether they cook food or not, he doesn't care. He's eating before he comes. They bring the food, he just pick the meat or something and just leave that. You see, once you find the other party detaching emotionally, you need to quickly arrest it. Find out, why are you detaching from this marriage? Something is happening. You are not happy. Is there anything I've done wrong? Is there something? You know, you need to talk. Men are cowards when it comes to talk. We don't like talk. That's why you say, hey, okay, what do you need? You say, I don't need anything. I just wanted to talk. You say, hey, talk. And then, so we don't like talk. And yet, conversation is the way you resolve issues. And so, sometimes, has a wife ever told you and said, we need to talk tonight? You start to say, what did I do again? You have not, she hasn't said anything. You just start to say, what did I do? Did I do anything? I think you asked me for money, I gave you now. You gave me, and the man just start confessing the things he didn't commit. Because men, men don't like, you know, talk. We don't like, because you know, once your wife begins to talk, you can never tell when it's going to end. And you can't tell, you may never tell where the thing is going to go. You don't know it's going to tell you your life history. You don't know whether, you don't just know whether the world is going to come to an end. So you just say, let's solve it now. Now you say, no, it's in the night. We're going to look, you know, I don't, just quiet. And you say, please, let's talk it now. I want to be free in my mind, you know. So if you find the other party detaching emotionally, it's getting cold, it's not as excited, you should be able to notice it. If you are too busy to notice your partner detaching emotionally, that's the wrong sign, that's a bad sign. And look, I said something yesterday, I think I said it before yesterday, let me repeat it. God made every one of us to need certain things. And He has also created ways by which we can get them. If you fail to supply that to your spouse, they will get it somewhere. They will get it somewhere. It breaks my heart to say this. I have never known in the history of my being a believer over 30 something years ago, I've never seen a period. I know that, you know, there were Playboy magazines, there were some magazines, there were no pictures years ago. Those things with, you know, porn magazines years ago, they used to exist. Over 30 years ago, I've seen some. Blue films, they call them. Those days are like, now the porn is on the internet. I've never seen a season, a period, where the church has degenerated to key people. And I can name at the tip of my finger like this: deaconesses, pastors, assistant pastors. Even just this past week, a pastor sent a porn video to me. And he didn't know. He probably didn't know who he was sending to or whatever. So, when immediately, before I even downloaded, I saw the image. Then I sent back to him. I said, Pastor, what is this? That was the question. I just said, what is this? Oh, Daddy, I'm sorry. It was an accident. Somebody sent it to me. And I said, if anyone sends porn to you as a pastor, it tells me what your life looks like. I'm seeing women, you know, buying sex toys and have downloaded pornography and things. I've never seen that level of rottenness. And when I ask, what is it? He say, ask my husband. It is 6 months this man has not talked to me. It's 4 months he has never called. Yeah, this one. And I keep seeing over and again, we need to know when the other party is detaching emotionally and attack it immediately. Amen? Number five. That's number six. When you fight in the presence of strangers and kids, that tells me that marriage is not healthy. One of you should be able to walk away from the kids. Come on now. Just be mature. and let adults deal with adult issues and not, you know, bring them before the kids. When you fight in front of strangers, in front of the kids, you're just telling me this marriage is not healthy. It's a sign that we need to do something about it. Number seven, when there's a lot of nitpicking going on between two of you and you're constantly finding fault. You know, this the men folk, a lot of men have this problem. This soup is so too much, it's too spicy. But the day the soup is so tasteful, so delicious, you didn't remember to say thank you. This thing is delicious. Don't worry, bro, just look at me. Even if your wife is, just say, tell him. I mean, they will never say that. I had a case, a family invited me for dinner, and as we were eating, you know, and I was saying, thank you so much, madam. I said, this is better than the restaurant you took us to. Oh, my God. I said, this is good. Thank you so much. I said, this is beautiful. And the man was just eating, and at a point, I said, oh, madam, thank you. I need to know the ingredients. I need to know, because I need to prepare this at home. And I just, you know, as we're eating, I would just say, and that's what I do at home. That's what I do at home to kids. So everybody who cooks, I just keep lavishing. I thank them. You know in the culture here, you thank the head of the home. In my own culture, the way my dad trained us is, you go to thank the person who did the job to prepare it. You know, so then if you say thank you to my mom, you say thank your dad. We don't necessarily go back to thank you because she more or less made it happen to give us that test. And I kept thanking him and thanking her. And the woman said, Pastor, please tell my husband to be telling me like this now. And the man was, he said, Pastor, you see, she should know that the thing is sweet. When I'm licking my plate, I say, she should... You should know that the thing is sweet and delicious now. That's why I'm licking the plate. And I say, that's not enough. Tell her. Because if this thing is not tasteful, if it's too, you know, spicy, you will talk. Most of us are not balanced men. Most men are not balanced. They talk when the thing is not good. But when it's good, you won't even know. Some of them will finish eating and bake like the house. They said, that's nice. No, it's not nice. You need to tell her, you did so well. I appreciate you for this. Even if you go out, just take a stroll out while the food digests. Get a gift to come and give her and say, thank you for that meal. Okay, number what are we now? You know, I'm particularly hammering the men because we're not talking enough. We're not appreciating these women. How can somebody do beautiful hair? You can't notice that. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? That's the first thing you see. Come on now. I mean, you know, I was telling mommy, as soon as I came, immediately I arrived, the first thing I saw was her hair. You have beautiful hair. I love this beautiful hair. That's the first thing I saw. Because how the person is looking at you, you should be able to begin to see in Jesus' name. you know, amen. Number eight. Okay, number eight. When you no longer enjoy your time together, when your spouse prefers to spend free time away from you or with someone else on a regular basis, when they feel like just staying in the place of work, it feels like going to play games and go to, because he knows that as soon as he returns, he can just take his shower and go to sleep. The moment your spouse feels like enjoys other people's presence more than your presence, he's smelling trouble already. You can't afford, and you should never enjoy other people's presence more than your spouse. You should like for her to, you know, look, I know there's a balance to it. If your wife's love language is time together, time is never enough for them. If you spend 2 hours, you will say, stay more. Because that's how she understands love. The other side is, if you have a wife whose love language is service, then every time she comes to you, she wants to talk about service. You know, I mean, because I have a wife whose love language is act of service, helping people. And I would say, Father, what do you want? He said, no, nothing. There's nothing I want. You have done everything good for. Only try to remember A and B. And I said, is it possible you are going to sit down with me and not ask me to do something? So, sometimes you say, we need to do this, we need to do that. But I say, it's okay. So now, I want you to sit down. He said, to do what? I said, just sit down with me. And don't tell me anybody who is going to die tomorrow without my intervention. If they were supposed to die tomorrow without my intervention, let them go ahead and die. But now, just take care of me. And then he said, yes, I will take care of you, but also just allow God to, don't let your heart be hardy. You know you are a pastor. She just want to help everybody. And I said, so, trust me, I know how to go about it. I could just stand up from the bed or something like this and I say, Lord, please put it into my wife's heart that I'm tired of helping people. I want to be helped. Let her just keep quiet. I say, let your Holy Spirit close her mouth for me and let her just be talking to me. And then she will say, you don't have to go to that prayer. You have to take care of her. I will attend to you, you know. We just make it funny and then you move on with your life. You know, I don't know if I will get there, but you just need to create fun. Make the family happy. Just look for something to laugh about. Just look for something to laugh about. Even if it's something that could make the other person angry, you know, turn into jokes. And we can move on. Number 9. When you have nothing nice to say about one another, this is a very important. You need to look for opportunity to say nice things to each other. It's something that is nobody should ask for it. Somebody said to me, if they say nice things to women, you know, somebody met me and said, Pastor, you say we should be doing this. Don't you think the woman's head will swell up? I said, the last time they gave you a compliment, didn't your head swell up? We should have blown the head off. And I visited the home, and she's going, the woman is going to work, and a staff, a colleague in her office was the one taking her to work. So I think she just arrived and came on a bike. And I said, Mr. Man, you have a car, and your wife is trying to catch a bike to meet with a colleague to take her. I said, have you thought about that? He said, there's nothing. I mean, sir, are you not trying to spoil them? I said, no. But if you think I'm trying to spoil them, that colleague will date your wife one day. I said, are you not ashamed of yourself? You have a car, a colleague comes to the front of your house, pick your wife to work, and then when he's coming back, he will come back. The one who takes care of a goat is the one the goat recognizes. And if you think your wife is not worth the person you can go to drop at the place of work and back at the end of the day and all that, you think that it's not worth it, the man who pays the price will win her heart someday. I said, oh, okay, but if we're doing it like this, you know, their head may swell up. I said, let it swell up. The thing is swelling up for you, right? Why don't you want your wife to feel good about herself? Why don't you feel good? I don't understand how we do things that we always think that you are spoiling your wife. But who else is supposed to spoil her? All right, number 10. I know some of you are saying, let this man stay till tomorrow. Number 10, when you don't talk with one another about your problems or feelings, instead you complain outside of the home. See, one of the signals I tell men, one of the signals is this. If a woman comes to you for counsel and is always talking about her problems, it's already giving you signals that you are the ideal man. If you're not careful, you'll be entangled. And woman, this is one way to know that a man has interest in you. Every time he comes to tell you how the wife is upsetting her, how this is not working, and all that, why are you the depository for all of his complaints? Oh, Mother, I thank God for you. I know you and your husband, you enjoy. I thank God for the way you take care of your husband. My wife, I don't enjoy that. And every time he complains about the wife, it doesn't take time. We are made to sympathize and empathize with each other. Your heart will go soft for him. Tell him, go and tell your wife what you are telling me now. Because if she knows she's not doing it right, she will correct it. Every time an opposite sex comes in and makes you a depository of their complaints, it's an indication something is going on. And they can easily beat you down. And you need to be very careful. You can't complain about a problem. Sometimes, I don't know whether it ever happens to you, but sometimes I find out that what I'm upset about, my spouse does not even know. The woman doesn't even know that I'm upset. He doesn't even know why. I remember one day I told her something. I said, you are bringing food to me. Don't you know I'm angry with you? He said, what did I do? When I explained, he said, I don't understand what you are saying. And I said, and look at this. He said, oh, I didn't even take notice. I was just doing this. I just smiled. And I said, I felt so stupid. I said, okay, I'm swelling up here. My tummy became full. I couldn't eat because I thought the woman has upset me. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the head and the tail. Eventually, when I discussed it with her, she didn't even know what I was talking about. I said, okay, next time if you see my face strong, you should ask me questions. Just tell me, say you acted a fool. Discuss with her. Discuss it. She may never know. Discuss with him. He may never know. And women especially. Men don't. We are as dumb as a bell. We don't always know. Except to tell us, women are a lot more sensitive to us than we are to them. We don't always know. Men don't pick signal. They don't get a clue sometimes. They just keep looking. And then you say, oh, you meet her, say, you didn't notice, you say, I didn't notice. And, you know, and except they start banging the door. Bah, bah, bah. You say, what is going on? You say, why are you asking me questions? And then you say, take it easy, you know. And you say, what happened? You say, oh, this is what is it? Oh, is that why you don't break the door? I'm sorry. I didn't even know about it. And because she's been making face for the last 2 days, and hoping you will see the face, and you don't see the face. So long you come and there is gari and ogbono soup, you eat, it's a kai, it's a deo. Yeah, and then and the woman is hoping that you see that she's not smiling at you, and the man will know. So go ahead and discuss it. Bring it out. Don't just, you know, carry face. You know, when I nearly got married, it's one of those things that I had to get my wife out because she wouldn't talk. She would just be silent and be crying. Now my mother was a cry woman. So to marry a woman, and I was tired of that, her cry, then my wife now said, I just finished. I said, I'm going to my library. When you are ready to listen, we'll talk later. And why did she say, you are callous, your heart is stony. I said, what happened? I said, you saw me cry like that. I said, no, because you are not a child. You are an adult. Discuss with me if there is anything. Don't express it in crying because I don't want to be seen crying. My mother has cried enough. So I don't want to see it. Just talk to me. That's the time my wife stopped crying. You know, because if I had not stopped it when we nearly got married, she would still be crying now. She's as a grandmother. If I was in my father's house, my papa, you know, one woman, having been married for about 25 years, he called me and said, I want to go to my father's house. I said, you know the shame? I said, your room was given to your younger sister many years ago. Your younger sister has handed it over to another child. Your father doesn't even have young ones at home now. It's not grandchildren taking over your room. Where are they going to get the room for you there? Go and sort it out and get out of here. I'm going to go to my father's house. Okay, what is it? Number 11. Okay. When you don't respect one another and you nag on one another, respect is a pillar in a marriage. You need to respect each other. Respect each other. Respect their privacy. Respect their love. Respect them. Honor them. Give them some honor. You know, give, you know, call them names that, you know, some men just call their wives name. Insult them dumb, stupid, mad, crazy. You can do that. You've got to give them good names. Otherwise, she will turn to the names you are calling. Because Adam called his wife what he wanted. You know that? So you name your wife the way you want. Call her that name, and everybody will respect that. I told you, the pet name I gave my wife since the day we got married is the same name my children called her. It's the same name my father, who is 85 today, is the same name he calls her. Everybody calls her out, and you know, everybody calls the same name without even knowing how it came about. But that's how much I wanted to honor her from day one. And you cannot. I have one old friend. He calls his wife my dear. And when the killer comes, I say, he said, go and meet my dear. And then the killer will come back and say, Daddy, my dear said that. My dad said that they're not going to give me. He said, my dad, please give me to that. So you need to know how to respect them and honor them before people, you know. And you have to respect one another before strangers, before honor each other and all that. You know, somebody told me, he said, honey, you are very stupid. I said, that will not be honey. That's not bitterly. How can you say, honey, you are very stupid? If it's honey, it's supposed to be sweet. You know, you need to respect each other, both privately and publicly. I need to know how many minutes I have more. I think I have about 15 more now. I think 15 minutes more from the time you gave me 40.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yes.
So I just want to be obedient. Yes. I have 15 minutes more, so you better be fast. Number 12, when there is inequality between you both concerning gender roles and decision making. Now, this is where our culture has not, you know, helped us. Simply because you are the head, it doesn't mean you own the monopoly of wisdom. You don't hold the monopoly of wisdom. And therefore, whenever you find yourself constantly talking down on your spouse, hoping that you do that, you know, that still does not mean the man doesn't have a role. You know, it's like the hand trying to struggle with the head. The brain is the one that coordinates is the center of the nervous system. Everything in the body is coordinated here. But the brain, that the head does not necessarily do the work of the leg. It doesn't do the work of the hand. So your job is to recognize that your wife is your wife and she's given to you to add value to you and to add value to that home and the children. And women have they have different ways of approaching an issue. You know what your wife represents? It's one half of you, the opposite side of the coin. You know, I've had couples who will come to tell me, men who will say, my wife, I don't know, she's so negative. Everything about her is so negative. If you share something with her, he will tell you what is not. That's how they are made, because they are intuitive. Everything about them carries emotion and is from inside. Whereas men are logical. Has your wife ever told you that your friend, I don't know, when I saw him, my spirit. You say that your spirit, is that your spirit? Only God will help you out of your spirit, will deliver from your spirit. Okay, what did the man do now? He said, I don't know. You know, because you see where the problem is. The man is logical. He wants the woman to explain why she said he is spirit. The woman doesn't know. It's just a feeling. Just intuition. Said, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable when I see him. Something in me. Then the man said, okay, what will I tell him now to say we can't do the business together? He said, I don't know. I'm just saying that my spirit doesn't agree with him. He said, go and deal with your spirit. Eventually, you go to do the business and the man cheated you. All the thing didn't work. He said, I told you my spirit didn't agree with that. They don't always have explanations for that. They don't have logical explanations. And therefore, you go to look for accommodation and you go to the place and say, this is so beautiful. And I love this place and all that. The woman will say, me, not me. And my children were not coming here. He said, what is wrong with this house now? He said, see that place, there's bush here. I'm robbers can come from there. This one, you say everything is always bad in your own eyes. No, it's giving you the opposite side. It's helping you to see the holistic picture. Instead of accusing her, all you need to do is to sit down, look at security, look at this, look at that. So you can take that as part of your planning. She's not even saying don't do it. He's telling you, look at the other side. Now, I love to go to mountains to pray. I go to the bush a lot to pray. And when we're driving past with my wife, and I'm seeing something, I say, wow, this is a beautiful place to pray. I think this weekend I will come in, I will. And she will say, only God knows how many lions will be on top of this mountain. He said, wild animals, snakes, leopards, everything, jackass, they will be on top of this. So, I will say, so you didn't see the beautiful ambience, how you can get lost in prayer here, and all that. She has said how. So now, when I want to go to that mountain, I wear my boots. I hold a stick in case I see a snake or I see something. I still go to the same mountain to pray, but because she has already raised security concern, which was not part of my thought anyway. I only saw the beauty. I only saw how I will travel to heaven from there and come back. That's all I'm looking at. But she says, I want my husband back. If there's danger here, how am I going to know that you are in danger? Be sure you hold the phone. So as soon as she raised the security concern, it registered in my head. I said, she's telling me the side I'm not thinking about. So when I'm going there, I now carry a walking stick, I carry something in case there's any danger, I will use that and escape. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when the woman is raising something that looks negative, it's telling you, you know, no matter how beautiful pancake is, it has two sides. And for any currency to be a legal tender, there have to be two sides. It's the other side you don't see, and you are not built, you are not framed, you are not created to see that. That's why God gave you the woman who can see that. And she's not negative. She doesn't have evil spirit. Now that you know that my wife used to see negative, I hope you can now love your wife and know and appreciate that bit of her. God gave you the other, or to complete you, to show you the side you are not seeing. She's just doing it, I say. Number, what is it again now? Number 12? Number 13. When you can't seem to agree on your goals and values. If what is important to this home before, when we started, is no longer important to you now, either as the man or the woman, it's already a warning signal. Something is wrong. Your goals and values should still hold sway, should still be, you know, at the focal point, at the center of everything. Number 14, when you don't trust one another and you feel suspicious of one another. In fact, trust is the foundation. There's the first building block. If you begin to suspect that, where did you go? You know, I hear women who sniff their husband's dresses when they come, and then and they say, did you hug a woman today? Did you touch this? And I said, that is not good. Your marriage is already, that's the warning sign. Once there's suspicion, sit down and trash it. What did I do to deserve this suspicion? And then the moment you know what is wrong, fix it, and then move on from there. But if you continue to suspect each other, you're going to destroy the marriage. Number 15, when the level of sexual intimacy in your marriage is low, or it isn't there at all. Sex is a lubricant. It's a lubricant. It rejuvenates the marriage. No matter how much it is, it's one of the things God has put in to bind the people together, to renew your covenant, to keep yourself fresher in the relationship, to keep yourself happier, to feel good, to relax. And once that thing is missing, it's a dangerous signal. I can't tell the woman whose husband is somewhere not far from Enugu here, is from this state, just somewhere, no, not far from here. And the man came down here, built a hotel, and he's been here, and the woman is there up north, and was, you know, doing businesses, and it's about 3-4 months before the man came back. And the man came back, was, you know, sick and struggling with some, you know, some malaria and typhoid, and was going through treatment. And then all of a sudden, the woman just came in and said, I want to go home. What happened? He said, I want to go back to my mother. I said, hey, after you don't expire, finish. What are you talking like that? I said, what is going on? He said, well, my husband, everything I did, I took care of this children. I was going to school, and I took care of all the children paying their school fee, and I took care of the business. This man has never said a word to me. Everything I did since he came back, he's been complaining. He's just condemning everything. I said, I have a question for you. Have you had sex since you came? When did he come? He said, by a week now. Have you had sex since you came? He said, what am I saying? What are you saying? I said, I'm saying what I'm saying. I said, have you made love to him since you came? Both of you, have you had sexual relationship? He said, who is talking about that? I said, I'm the one talking about that. He said, no, the man is sick. The man is treating malaria and typhoid. I said, with the treatment, has he requested to have to make love to you? He said, yes now, but I feel he's not feeling. I said, oh, the man is not feeling fine. But he's strong enough to say, excuse me, dance. I said, what's wrong with you? He said, are you trying to tell me that's the... I said, I'm not trying to tell you. I'm telling you that is why he's quarreling. He said, no, me, I don't think like that. So I said, now, I'm your pastor. I think like that. So you know what? You're going to close the shop. I said, leave him in the shop. Come back home. As I'm talking, I just go drive home. Take your shower. And wear your nightgown. Okay, number. And I said, call him and tell him there is something emergency. Come home now. I said, once he gets home, activate. He said, hey, you won't tell me to prostitute? You won't tell me to... I said, shut up. He's your husband. Just go and do what I say. She did. The following day, I'm expecting a phone call. She's not calling. But if you know me well, I'm going to chase after you. So I call. Hello. I say, how far? He's thanking me for everything. Okay. I told him, he said, hey, only God will know the kind pastor where you be. Don't tell me to prostitute, oh. And I said, but you now find peace in your home. You know, for men, sex is a big deal. And you keep turning him down, every day. You give him food, you know, go get appetite, because his appetite is elsewhere. So you just need to sexual intimacy. Look, you should. I don't know how you can be couples and for 1 month, except for health reason, for 1 month you've not made love for 2 weeks. Love making is not just for making babies. It's to bind you together. It's to renew your covenant. It is to relax you. You know, and that thing, Kuma, is a coolant. If you are getting your head is hot, if you have a good dose of it, you just calm down. Sometimes too, you may not be able to sleep, but when you have a good session, especially the men, they start snoring before the woman even knows what is good. You know, it's a way to. God has built a lot. If you really enjoy real sensual moment, you don't remember that. You don't remember anything in process. You are lost. In fact, it's the only sense. It's the only emotion in the body that takes hold of every other emotion, subject them to only one emotion. Once you are in that real mode and you are truly enjoying that act, everything is bound up together in a single emotion. Why should you allow that to be out of your marriage? Why should you allow that to be out of your marriage? Amen. Okay, number 16. When, you know, jokes and teasing each other becomes offensive. When it becomes offensive, you're angry. Just they say, "Hey, sweetheart," and then you say, "I bet don't sweetheart me. I don't have your time." And he's angry and he's upset and all that. You need to fix that. You can't afford to be. You know, when teasing becomes offensive, it means your emotion. The emotion is diverted somewhere. Even if it is business that is having crisis to the point of affecting your jovial moment, because jokes is one of the things that can relax. You know, relax the home. You know, my wife can react very quickly. I react slowly but longer. She reacts quickly and gets over it quickly. I react slowly but very long. And so, because of that, when I try to make up things, I don't want to hear anything. You have messed it up. I don't want to. And I say, please, I'm sorry. I say, that's how you're going to do. And then every time you say you are sorry, I say, okay, is there any other word after sorry that I can say? Because I know if you make a mistake, it's I'm sorry. And if he says, I don't even want to hear, I just go to where she's lined up by the bed, I'll just nail her. I said, Lord, when I repented, I told you I'm sorry, only once you accepted. I've told my wife 3-4 times now, she even asked me to get out of this room. If there is any available grace, if there are angels that can intervene, he just started laughing. He said, get out of this place. You know, I just dramatized everything. Just make it look like he doesn't, you know, just make fun of the whole thing. And just create jokes. Just create jokes. Sometimes I go to meet the children and I say, you, have you done my work? You won't do my work. You, how about this one? When we started, the other one said, no, you didn't give me work. And then when we dramatize that, she would laugh and laugh. I say, so all of you are making fun of me, but and all that, you know. And we just create jokes. There should be somebody who just turned everything to comic relief. Amen. So you need to find that and not be hurtful. Number 18. When you think you are getting number, is that 17? Okay, when your partner keeps secrets from you, you know, he's now having secrets, he's having this, he's having secret friends you don't know about, he's chatting, he's doing this, he's doing all that, you don't know about it, and just secretly, it's a sign that something is going on. He's buying land, he's building homes without telling you, is that something is not right. It's a sign of a healthy relationship. Number 18, when you think you are getting sick or having physical complaint due to marital stress. He said, look, I know this marriage is stressing me up. To the point that you're feeling headache, the man comes in, you start feeling sick and all that. It's a sign that something is wrong. You need to dig it down quickly. See a counselor. I told you in the morning, I told you yesterday, and let me say it again. We have taught before that you should never discuss with a third party when it comes to marriage. Don't talk to anybody. Two of you should lock the door and say to you, there are times that if two of you lock the door, you will kill each other inside that room. If in ministry you need fathers to mentor you, if in politics you need godfathers to mentor you, in marriage you also need a mentor. They have been inside this business for more than 30 something years. Let the mother of the home, of the church, or whoever mentor you. Let the all these older people, let them mentor. Let them be. What did the scripture say in 1 Timothy? He says the older women should teach younger women. That's mentoring. I don't know where we get a doctrine of don't discuss anything with anybody. I don't know where we got that from. You need a mentor. Go to an older woman and say, Mommy, I don't know how to handle this. My husband reacted like this. I tried to this. And you say, my daughter, there are times men go through this. This is what to do. This is what to do. This is what to do. You know, I remember one of my boys one day, he came to me and he told me, he said, Daddy, we have gone for introduction also. Suddenly he said he was not interested. What? I said, what happened? He said, I just talked to her. She came around and I talked to her and this thing. And he said, so you are mocking me. And she was good. I tried to lock the door. He said, I should do so. So the whole thing has gone. I said, what? The father is a bishop. We have sold us. I said, what's going on? I said, immediately my head was spinning. I was feeling headache. I said, okay, have you eaten? I said, go to the kitchen. Go and get food first. I left the place But, you know, because he has come to talk to me, I said, where is she? And she has gone. So I called her. I said, oh, so-and-so, where are you? He said, you've gone home. I said, why did you have to go home? My son offended you and you walked up home? That's very strange. I said, you just offended me. That is true. When you know he was coming to my house, you should have come down with him and report him to me. He said, Daddy, I'm sorry. He didn't come. I said, no, you really offended. I'm really, really upset now. So I called the young man, I said, just that I said this, and you reacted. So if I get married to you now, is that how you are going to abandon me because of little thing? And I said, tie him there because you messed up. But if you tie him this way, you will be able to assess her. And so when he came up and he talked to the woman, I said, oh, are you trying to make me feel guilty for what you did now? And then he sort of, when the guy came, I said, if there's something, it's me, you should have said, this thing you did, I didn't like it. He said, Daddy, I'm sorry. I said, he will apologize to you. And I fixed that. And then the boy came to me and said, Daddy, thank you for the way you went about this. Now, if he said they will never share with anybody, that relationship would have ended. They have two sons today. It's one of our children. He has two sons today. From the same thing that you could have. And every time I call and I say, what is going on? He say, well, I had to discuss this, and they look at this, and I say, okay, look, this is it. Now, because your wife is this of this temperament, this is how you go about this. And this is what to do, this is what to do. You say, because I am their mentor, I'm able to discuss everything with them, I'm able to ask questions, and we're able to. If you don't talk to anybody, you just be groping in the dark, and before you know, you wreck the marriage. Do you understand what I'm saying? Have an elderly person who counsels with you. Number 19, is that okay? My time is gone now. I have a few minutes more. Okay, number 19. You don't, when you don't make time for each other or for new experiences together, or you are not speaking each other's love language. You know, I explained it in the morning. You know, there are five of those love languages. Some people is act of service. And I can give you a simple assignment. What is your wife's love language? What's your husband's love language? You need to know that. Okay? Some people is act, you know, is non-sexual touch. Just holding her hand. You know, I know somebody who told me this. He said, the moment you touch me, he said, I felt love. That's it. It didn't make sense to me that they just touch you, you felt love. So some people is non-sexual touch. Some people is gifts. That as soon as you offend them, you just go and buy a flower. And when you bring it, you say, okay, it's over now. Just buy him gift. They buy card for them. I'm sorry, gift. If you offend my wife, I'll buy gift. You are your own. She will not even see it. You get what I'm saying? Talk it over with her. So you need to understand what is this love language. If it is the act of service, if it is, you know, gifts, if it is quality time together, if it's not sexual touch, or if it is words of affirmation. That's the only way you say, you know, some people just tell her you look good. And so I'm so proud to be of you. You look so beautiful. I say, you look so, so good. You know, our baby girl happens to be, the words you say to her matters a lot to her. So when she goes to do new hair, she'll put it on her WhatsApp. It will put the picture there. And I knew that, and I would say, oh baby girl, this is so beautiful. One day she did it and put it there. And I knew she put it there specifically because she wants daddy to make a comment. And I didn't say anything for 2-3 years. She called her, daddy, did you see the picture of my WhatsApp? I said, I saw it. He said, hey, you didn't say anything. I said, it's a good picture. You know all your pictures are good. And he said, no, you look at it very well again and call me back. Just to say she went to make new hair and you know, it's so beautiful. I said, when I saw it, I laughed because I knew you put it there for daddy to see it that you went to make brand new hair. I said, baby girl, you know your hair is always beautiful. You know, you say, that's what I've been waiting for. Then she came to okay? So you know, those little things, that's what they need. Give it to them. That's their love language. Speak it. It makes them feel validated. Makes them feel loved. That's what they understand. So if you don't understand your spouse's love language, it's a bad sign. The day she's going to break out, she will break out to the person who is always speaking that language. And they will be using the person to turn to you and say, if he's so and so, he would say this. If he's so and so, you won't like it. Okay? Number 20. When your spouse prefers to talk or text on a cell phone that is kept private, password, he just doesn't want you to have access to anything that is private. It's already a bad sign. Number 21, when your spouse is in frequent contact with old boyfriends or girlfriends via social media, I smell a rat. When it is, it's just my old, you know, old classmate. You say, Alison, how are you? When? The guy is going, you know. He's renewing the old flames. You need to watch it out. You need to watch out. Something is not okay. Another sign is when your spouse tries to isolate you from your family and your friends. A true lover, true husband, true wife should not isolate the man to themselves. They should be involved with your family. They should be involved. Both families should be involved with each other. So why will you want to keep only the man to yourself or the woman to yourself? When you try to isolate your spouse, it's a sign that something is not very okay. All right? Number, what is this? Number 23. When you discover your spouse is lying about money, or is more stingy, frugal than usual, hides money and controls you with money. It's a wrong sign. You know, when the person you keep, you say, what are you doing with money? Every time you complain, there's no money. Every time you complain, there's no money. What are you doing with money? You just made this amount, and we didn't spend much money. It's probably sponsoring somebody out there, or investing somewhere, or is doing something that is untoward. And when money issue is becoming unbecoming and it's different from the way it used to operate, it's a red flag. You need to watch it. Number 24, I have just three more and I'm out of your way. When you are happier, if you are happier when your spouse is away from home, or for an afternoon, for a meeting, or for a business trip, you are happier that you are not together. It's a red flag. It's a sign that something is not okay. You shouldn't be happy that the other one is away. In fact, one thing that happens with me is every time I travel, we speak on an average of once or twice a day. And I mean, even when I'm outside the country. And the longest I've stayed outside the country, you know, for a single missionary outreach will be about almost 4 weeks. I mean, almost 8 weeks. That's almost 2 months. And we talk every singular day with my wife. Every day. Every day we must talk. Every day, if I'm on earth, we talk every day. It doesn't matter where I travel to. We must talk. If I'm unable to reach her and all that, I call the children and say, tell mommy, daddy needs to hear her voice. Somehow, we must reach out every day. Except there's no communication there. You know, I think by the time we were 25 years in marriage, I traveled somewhere to one country, I can't remember now, and I couldn't communicate. I couldn't tell her because I needed to get my phone set up there, and so we couldn't. The day I traveled, the following day, it happened to be the third day or the night of the second day or the third day before I could communicate. Oh, she was running temperature. Oh, daddy has not gone. And then my children were saying, calm down, mommy. If there's anything negative we'll have heard, is that he's not settled yet. She was so, then it doesn't take long before he called. He will have looked for somewhere. I don't know what he's doing. And she was so worried. And one of them, when I called, and then they all said they wanted to talk with me. And then one of them said that, he said, after 25 years, mommy is still running temperature. This is not love now. How are you people? I said, the longer you stay together, the better it is. I'm really enjoying her now that when I nearly married her. The longer, the sweeter, the merrier, you know. Number 25. When you realize that there is emotional and physical abuse in your marriage, you start to insult each other, there's emotional and physical abuse and all that, then you need to know that it's a sign of a sick marriage. And lastly, when one or both of you have considered cheating or has cheated in real life, online, physically or emotionally, when people start to cheat with pornography, when you start to cheat through chatting and sending, you know, erotic text messages, romantic text messages, it's an indication that the marriage is having some challenges. I mean, where you find ladies sending their things to you and men sending out, you know, their privates in picture, photographs to each other and all that. Even if you have not done it, emotionally you'll be involved. Emotional cheating, online, physically and all that. And then when you find these things going on, there are signs that the marriage needs to be worked on. It's possible there is one or two areas that this you've noticed this in your marriage. It doesn't mean that the marriage is hopeless. It means that the little foxes are coming on. What you now need to do is to go and face it head on and say, look, my wife, this area we heard. I discovered that, or my husband, I discovered this area is already applicable to me. I'm feeling like this. I'm feeling withdrawn, this and this. And these are the reasons. And then you resolve it, pray together, and move on. Take off the little foxes that spoils the vine. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together before. Father, I pray for every couple in this place. It's not as though we have arrived. We're sharing what we have learned from your word and from our real life. Father, we pray today that every sick marriage will be healed. All of these red flags, we pray that you will help us to address them. And Lord, wherever little foxes are in our relationships, We take them out in Jesus' name. As we go back to have conversation in our homes with our spouses, we pray whatever areas of understanding or misunderstanding will be straightened out in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, as we take these steps, listen to them over and again, we pray we will deal and relate with each other with better understanding. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.